for tuning in to our latest episode of Twin Souls, a Best Friends podcast. We hope you enjoy our Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem series, and we plan to bring our listeners even more content in the future. We tell you all about ourselves, our lives, and our stories, and somewhere in between, we get into the tough and sometimes funny or sexy topics. Stay tuned for more episodes from us at Twin Souls Podcast. On this episode of Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem, we divulge into the mysterious disappearance of Johnny Gosch, a paperboy that went missing the morning of September 5th, 1982. We talk about the twists and turns of the case and speculate what may have happened on the day he went missing. We're going to start talking about the case, so a little bit of background. Johnny Gosch was a 12-year-old paperboy who lived in West Des Moines, Iowa, and he was 12 years old. He had a morning paper route that he got up every day before the sun rose, and he delivered the newspapers every single morning. September 5th, 1982, all of the neighbors started calling Johnny's parents, asking if Johnny had been sick that morning because their papers weren't delivered. And he was always on time with delivering the papers, so everyone thought maybe something was up. And this put his parents into a frantic panic. They went out looking for him, and they found his red wagon with his papers a block and a half away from their residence. And this was the last trace of Johnny that would ever be found. So the Goshes alerted to the police about their son, and since there was no ransom note or demand for ransom, the police declared that it was not a kidnapping, and they waited 72 hours before declaring him missing and before they started an official investigation. So the Goshes were really frustrated with this. They found that law enforcement's response was very, very sluggish. His parents were named John and Noreen. They went on television and distributed over 10,000 posters with their son's picture on it. And he was actually one of the first children to be plastered on the side of milk cartons throughout the United States in an effort to raise awareness about missing children. The Goshes did massive efforts in trying to get the word out of their son's abduction, and it also attracted a lot of unwanted attention. This came in the form of really cruel prank phone calls and a lot of false leads and trails. There seemed to be a lead early in the case when a PI hired by the Goshes found two witnesses who reported seeing Johnny talking to a man in a blue car on the morning of his disappearance. But the neighbor had no idea what the license plate was or where it was from. So that ran really, really cold. And then 2 years later, another paper boy, Eugene Martin, went missing in Iowa, the same place, but police were never able to connect the two. And no arrests or charges were ever made in the Johnny Gosch case, and this is in 2021, but the mystery is far from over. So I have the neighbor's accounts of that morning that saw Johnny. A neighbor reported that he observed Johnny talking to a stocky man in a blue tow-toned Ford Fairmont with Nebraska plates. He did not know what was being discussed because he was looking out of his bedroom window. As Johnny started to walk away from this man, the neighbor noticed another man following Gosch right behind him. There was another neighbor as well named John Rossi who saw the man in the blue car talking to Johnny and thought that something was really strange because he was an older man and Johnny was just a kid. So he looked at the license plate. He could not recall the plate number, but the only thing that he could say was that it was from Warren County, Iowa. That's where he recognized it from. So there was another witness who claimed that a few months after Johnny's September disappearance, her son, Johnny, was spotted in Oklahoma at a convenience store, and a young boy started to yell for a woman's attention for help before being dragged off by two older men. And that was the last time anyone saw Johnny Gosch.
That's pretty interesting there. Like, so, I'm surprised that the police waited 72 hours. I mean, I am, but I'm not. Like, I am because he is 12 years old. So, I mean, I would think 24 hours at the absolute like most, but then it is a 12-year-old child still, so.
Yeah, that kind of blows my mind that they waited that long just because there wasn't a ransom note.
72 hours, a lot can happen. You can get from one side of the country to another.
Well, they say the first 48 is the most critical, so they totally missed that window.
They totally did.
To find anything credible. So the fact that the police were so sluggish just makes my blood boil in this case because they missed the first crucial moments of this kid's abduction.
Of course, they completely missed it.
They were also, so this was a boy who was around the same age as Johnny that was also kidnapped, but on the south side of Des Moines. Johnny was kidnapped on the west side of Des Moines, and his name was Eugene Martin. He was another paper boy who disappeared under very similar circumstances. The authorities were unable to prove a connection between the two cases, but Noreen Gosh, who's Johnny's mother, claims that she was informed of the abduction, that it was going to happen a few months in advance by the PI that she hired. She was apparently told that the kidnapping would take place the second weekend in August 1984, and it would be a paper boy from the south side of Des Moines. It doesn't say where she, I'm assuming she heard it from the PI, but it doesn't say how the PI knew it or if he, you know, infiltrated this group or whatever, but he was correct about this boy missing, and it was reported that it was the same blue car, the same man, the stocky looking man, and they've never heard from him either.
I mean, I wouldn't think that'd be, I wouldn't think that'd be a coincidence. I'd think that would be connection completely myself. I would be like, we're looking for two boys in the same city, I guess you can call it.
Same age group.
Yeah, same age group. Witnesses say same car. Like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, you think they would search for the Fairmont, I believe is what they said the car was, the blue
yes.
two-tone Fairmont, but they didn't.
That's shocking.
Police didn't. Yeah, they were, I don't even know why they didn't, but a lot of things came up in this case that the police just didn't really seem to give a damn about. Like, I watched Who Took Johnny, and that is a documentary that was done, I want to say like 5 years ago, I believe it was, I don't know, maybe five years, maybe more than that. It was all about the case, and there was a man named Paul Bonassi who had been locked up in jail, and he had allegations that he told his attorney that he had been abducted into a pedophile sex ring with Johnny Gosh as a teenager, and he was forced to participate in Gosh's kidnapping. His lawyer, Bonassi's lawyer, believed that he was telling the truth. And Johnny Gosh's mother later met him in prison and said that he told her things that he could only know from talking or being with Johnny. So he pointed out that Johnny had a really weird shaped birthmark on his chest, a scar on his tongue, which his mother confirmed that he had, and a burn scar on his lower leg. Although a description of the birthmark that Johnny had been widely circulated, information about the scars had not been made public yet. So Bonassi described all of these markings to Johnny Gosh's mother, and she believes him because the public didn't have that specific information yet.
Yeah, at this point in the story, I would believe him as well. I'm on the truth factor speaking at, I think this is the truth as of right now. If there's some more stuff that happens, I can maybe change my mind later.
Well, and he also, so he told her about all the marks on his body, and he also described a stammer to her that Johnny did have when he was upset. So Noreen Gosh confirmed that Johnny did have a stammer when he was upset. The FBI and local police did not believe him, and they said he wasn't a credible witness, so they didn't even bother interviewing him. That was it.
Okay, sure. I mean, I don't believe that.
They say that he's a liar and that he's lying. He made the story up.
But the mother believes this is true.
Yes, because okay. The mother believes that he would not know these things about her son unless he was in close contact with him. Benassi actually accused Republican Party activist Lawrence E. King Jr., and he also served as the director of the Franklin Credit Union in Omaha, Nebraska, of running an underage prostitution ring and victimizing him since an early age. He made these accusations against this activist and businessman. And then in 1990, a county grand jury declined to charge Lawrence E. King because they found the allegations from Paul Benassi to be a carefully crafted hoax. And Paul Benassi was indicted on state perjury charges for talking about this and saying that he was the victim and that this guy ran it. And to this day, in 2021, Paul Benassi has never been interviewed by the police or the FBI regarding the disappearance of the paperboy Johnny Gosch. So they have never questioned him. They've never tried to find a timeline, a motive. They've never went to him to ask about these men that had kidnapped him and Johnny, you know, to take sketches. The police never did any of that.
That's a joke. And they're not, I mean, it is the 90s. Well, yeah, it's the 90s. They're not doing their job in the first place. As we know, police sometimes don't care.
No.
They're dead. So be it. That's their thought. They're not a live person that I have to save.
Or they ran away.
Exactly.
Oh, well. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like they kind of thought he was a runaway, or maybe he was troubled and he left home and that was it. Because maybe crimes like that didn't happen there. Like, you know, when you're in a small town and people say, oh, crimes never happen here, so everyone leaves their doors unlocked.
The only place I lived like that was Jasper. I wouldn't even leave my doors unlocked in Amherstburg because that's a county. Like, anyone could be traveling through the counties, stop at a house.
Exactly.
You live in the county. Why am I going to keep my door unlocked when there's a big bush 20 acres next door to me? No, thank you.
And it makes me think, if Johnny was kidnapped by, let's say, this pedophile ring, they would have had the opportunity to watch him if he was getting up and going on these paper routes every morning before the sun would rise, right?
Yeah.
They would be able to track his steps of where he's going. And usually his dad went with him. But on this morning, it was only him, his dog, the family dog, and his wagon. And he decided to go out, that he was old enough to do it on his own. Which makes me feel like he was watched for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Because it definitely seems like that. Yeah, especially since, oh, your dad's not there and now's the perfect time for you to go missing. But
exactly, that just, it's normally too,
normally, yeah, it's not a great time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It just, all of a sudden, the first time he didn't go without his dad, he gets kidnapped.
Yeah, I think if it is a pedophile ring, like you've been talking with, the whole, it could have the neighbors, like some of the neighbors could have been involved. I mean, who knows how deep these rings can go and get, like,
and how many powerful people, like, look at Epstein.
Yep. Police are involved, doctors are involved, lawyers are involved, priests are involved, everyone.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It's like people of power. So Paul Benassi, in the film Who Took Johnny, he talks about this ring, and they were called the Rocking X. So they would snatch boys and kids, and then once they got them to the place where they held these boys at, and Paul Benassi described it as a ranch, like a basement under a ranch where they would hide the boys, they would brand each boy with a Rocking X marking, which I uploaded to our Facebook page so everybody could see it. And Paul Benassi, I believe, proved that he had the Rocking X branding, and he was starting to receive letters from other people while he was in prison that confirmed that they were too victims of the Rocking X brand and that they had the brand on them. And the police knowing this, they still didn't look into it and they didn't take him seriously. So the Rocking X brand is believed to be part of a government-run conspiracy for a pedophile ring. And it includes big, big, powerful household names, but especially President Bush. And that's, I'm going to go into more of that later.
Okay.
But they say that Johnny had the brand as well. Benassi told his mother that Johnny did indeed have the brand now that he's been with these captors for however long. Noreen Gosh, some people think she's off her rocker, that she's suffering so badly from grief from losing her son, that she's made up some really, really bizarre claims. They think she's making up the child pedophile ring. It's a long, dark tunnel on Reddit that I like to go down. And
I like to go down.
I do. It's so interesting to hear other people and what they have to say. But so this happened in 1997, supposedly happened, I'm going to say, because it has not been confirmed by anyone else but Noreen. So 15 years after Johnny Gosh's disappearance, Noreen Gosh awoke to a knock on her door at 2:30 in the morning.
First off, who's answering their fucking door to a knock at 2:30 in the morning? And if you're a woman by yourself, what the fuck?
And she was, because they were divorced.
Yeah, so let's keep going on this stupid broad.
So, although the unexpected visitor pulled open his shirt to reveal a familiar birthmark on his chest, Noreen claims she recognized the visitor right away. And she described him as this man looking like her 27-year-old son, Johnny, what she would recognize him as an older man. And Johnny was apparently accompanied by a man that she had never met or seen before. Okay. And she says that she spoke with Johnny. He came in the house and she spoke with her son for over an hour. And Johnny would constantly look over to this other person for approval for him to speak to his mother. So Noreen claims that while her son was in her house visiting with her, that Johnny told her that he had been the victim of a pedophile organization, and that now that he was older, he had been cast aside, but he still feared for his life, and he lived under an assumed identity, and he felt like it was not safe for him to return back home. So Gosh's father, John, has been divorced from Noreen since 1993. He has publicly stated that he is not sure whether or not the visit actually occurred. He's not even sure that his ex-wife is in her right mind, if she's making this up or if he actually thinks that she's credible.
Right. So this here is some like big speculation on everyone's part, I guess you can say.
It is, because no one but her can say, yes, this happened.
To me, normally, like, when you're in, that's it.
Well,
the only way to out is to die.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they would have kind of came right after him again, mm-hmm. if they had found out that he escaped somehow or whatever, however the gang thing kind of works. But you're either in or you're out.
Exactly.
But that could be, if he was alive, maybe that's the mentality. He had to get off the map.
Of course.
So Noreen was actually asked in court if she had seen Johnny, and if not, she would be held in contempt. And this was the first time she ever said, yes, this is when I saw him. He came to visit me. So after this courtroom thing, she went to the FBI and she had them create a sketch of her now adult son who came to her house. There was such a lack of evidence besides her own word that the authorities majorly doubted that Johnny was even still alive. And his mother firmly believes that her son was abducted as part of a child sex ring, and that the investigation was hampered because of the big names involved in the scheme. Dun 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 dun.
Are we gonna learn about these big names?
So she doesn't drop any big names, but she talks about, like, again, the priest being involved, police being involved, all that kind of stuff. So she believes that someone on the police force is helping these other people and trying to cover up her son's abduction.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird, because she kind of has a point. Like, why are they being so sluggish?
Exactly. That's so true. Why aren't they doing their job still after possible leads?
And so the police have not even denied that this theory is completely impossible, but Des Moines police said that they have no evidence to suggest that Johnny was swept into a pedophile ring. So because they don't have anything solid, they don't think it's credible. In a police sense, that makes sense, but they still haven't, to me, it seems like they haven't even tried to look.
No, definitely seems like that. It's been 15 plus years, it seems, at this point, that why are they going to look back into a cold case?
That's, I mean, it's not even cold. They say it's still active, but they haven't had any tips in years, and all the tips and investigation and witness reports that they do get, they say, oh, it's not true. So they don't even bother looking into it. That just blows my mind.
It really does. It really does.
So why aren't they looking into this 12-year-old abduction? I mean,
who's telling them not to? Me.
Exactly. Exactly. Wouldn't they just want to look into it anyway, just to clear?
Yeah.
You know, this person or this person, or I mean, John, I mean, not John, Paul Benassi, he might have not have been seen as credible, but the mother even confirmed he would not know these things unless he has seen my son at least once or twice. So if the mother's saying it, you think the police would kind of catch on and say, okay, well, maybe this is something we should look into. But
if
they didn't.
If she was, like, medically deemed unfit, then I could understand how she could be off a rocker, but it doesn't even seem like it got that far.
No, and grief can make you do crazy things. But even if her story isn't correct, or maybe she had a dream and it felt real, or, you know, maybe she made it up to make herself feel better.
Exactly.
But it's also very odd to me that nobody's listening to her. I think they just chalked it up to she's going to believe what she wants to believe. And if there's no credible evidence, then there's nothing we can do. That's pretty much what I took it as.
That's what I take it as well.
So there's been multiple theories about Johnny Gosch and what happened to him. Again, that's like a dark hole on Reddit you can go down if you really want to look into the different theories, because they're all really interesting. The one that interested me the most, that I thought would be really, really telling to go into, would be the Jeff Gannon theory. And it's the internet. The internet made up this theory, but I think it's pretty cool. So, internet reports speculate that the White House blogger named Jeff Gannon is really the missing paperboy, Johnny Gosch. There have been multiple photos floating around on Reddit of Johnny Gosch, supposedly in the background with President Bush at an event, like an older Johnny. People think that it looks just like him, that it must be him, that President Bush has a hand in this pedophile ring. That's just what people believe. It's accusations. I'm not gonna say that's true if that's not. And there are also multiple photo reconstructions of Johnny Gosch, his face over time, put onto a young Jeff Gannon. And some people think that they match perfectly. So I'm gonna post this picture. I believe I already posted it on our Facebook page.
Yes.
So everybody can see what we're talking about, because it's haunting to me. To me, I think a young Johnny could definitely pull off as a Jeff Gannon, my opinion.
The pictures that I've seen as well, I definitely did see some resemblance. I would have to see like the best high quality pictures out there to get like fully in depth and give you my full analysis, but what I seen, they matched.
I agree. I think they really did match. Jeff Gannon has always said like, no, that's not the truth. But again, people think, well, Johnny Gosch is probably brainwashed by now, so he'll say anything.
Well, that's so true as well. It could be anything. The longer you stay, like normally these kids, like in the Epstein trial, they were all paid like $200 a piece. And then if you brought friends, you got a higher tip basically.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see it happening down the line. Oh, you've been here with us for 10 years and now you're actively staying, we're going to promote you.
Yeah, and give you a new name, new identity. So that's one of the theories that's going around about this case, and it's wild. It's absolutely wild. Again, you can, anyone can Google Jeff Gannon, Johnny Gosch, and go down that rabbit hole. It's very interesting, but it's never been confirmed. So again, it's just another one of those accusations, kind of a tip that was thrown around the case, and it went cold. There was a bill passed in 1984 in Iowa. They passed a Johnny Gosch bill, and this required the police to investigate missing child cases immediately rather than waiting 72 hours as they had in Gosch's case. Despite the important legislative changes and tremendous media campaign, besides his newspaper wagon, no trace of Gosch was ever found. So his red wagon and his newspapers in the wagon were the last thing that anyone ever saw.
What about the dog?
Apparently the dog was found walking around the neighborhood, but got back home. I'm sure it's so funny because everyone always wonders what happened to the dog.
I think
with dog's Johnny, safe.
I think with Johnny, I think if there was a body, we would have found it by now, and it would have been less than 5 kilometers or 5 miles from the home.
I was just going to say the same thing.
I don't think he was taken by a big mastermind serial killer who transported him from one side of the country to another just to kill him and hide his body. I think that they would want the body to be found, like most serial killers. Not saying it is, but I think it makes a lot more sense that he was taken, brought into something he didn't want to be in, and he's lost out there.
I kind of agree, because then I look at the disappearance of Eugene, and I'll post a picture of Eugene on our Facebook page. Their ages were similar. The boys looked very similar. They both had like that dark flippy hair, and yep, they were both young, nice looking boys. And Eugene Martin was never found either. He was seen talking to the same Ford Fairfield that Johnny was talking to a couple weeks earlier, which blows my mind, just because I feel like, why wouldn't somebody see this car and take down the license plate knowing what had happened to Johnny a few weeks earlier?
And another question, did Noreen sit on this information that there would be another boy missing, or did she go right to the police? Because I'm gonna think she sat on it, and I think if that's the truth and that conversation did happen, she should have went to the police then and maybe mentioned it, because then on file there would have been some sort of information to back up her claims.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way, and then I see it as like they've been so dismissive of her, so I kind of don't blame her at the same time. She probably just thought, they're just gonna say it was nothing, that I'm being crazy,
right?
So I don't really think she would win either way, which is really unfair for her, because she just wanted to find her son.
Exactly.
Will he ever return, or do we think he was murdered?
He will not return. I don't think so.
Neither do I.
He would have returned by now if he was returning, in my opinion. Is he dead?
I agree.
I don't think he's dead either.
I mean, they never found blood at the scene. They didn't find any DNA that would say that he was attacked or he was hurt before they put him in the car.
Exactly.
It's so strange to me, because at the same time, he could have been murdered and dumped somewhere that we haven't found yet. Or he is still alive. He is hiding. And he just doesn't want to come out of the light, because it would shine to where he's been and bring attention to these people that he doesn't want to be killed over.
Of course, exactly.
It could really go either way, and that's what drives me insane about this case. I can't decide. Was he murdered? Was he not? Is he just missing? Is he living under a different identity? And then I think to myself, how long could a person do that? especially in 2021. Like, you're telling me nobody's ever seen him or a man that looks like him anywhere. You know, that's what gets me.
Do we have like an updated photo of what he would look like as
they have
like a 50 like an year adult? Old? Yeah.
They have a recreation on Google. Actually, they have a couple of them from when he was 12 to, I think they went to 20 to 30. Because he would be, what, in his 50s by now?
I forget what year you said he was born, but he was 12 when he went missing in the 80s, I think you said?
It's been over 15 years. So, yeah, late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah.
He would be today in 2021. Do you believe that he went to visit his mother? What do you think?
No, I don't. You don't believe it? So. No, I don't believe that story at all. It could have some facts, but at the same time, it's like, who's this? I thought you said you escaped. If you escaped, why are you here? And why are you here? Who is this man that's with you? Is this your bodyguard? Where'd you get the money for a bodyguard in the first place? I thought you were escaping.
And she did say in the documentary that I watched that Johnny never introduced this person to her. He didn't offer up a name of this man that was with him, and that he would always look over to this man before he answered a question. But you're telling me she, after this visit, she literally kept this information to herself?
Yeah, and was like, oh, okay, well, that was a great little visit. I'm just gonna fuck calling the police and saying, hey, I think Johnny's in town.
And she didn't do it until she was in the courtroom and was threatened to be held contempt of court. So isn't that something she would call his father right away and say, oh, Johnny just came, you know?
Or I would think so.
You know, son, you stay right here. I'm calling the police. We need to let everyone know you're okay. Like, and then at the same time, it's like, what if her story is true and she didn't make it up? And he really does fear for his life, and that's why she didn't. And she said, the interviewer asked her in the documentary, why didn't you call? Why didn't you tell anybody? And she said, with this very serious look on her face, because my son asked me not to. That blew my mind, just because that felt so incredibly real to me when she said that. I know if my daughter asked me to keep a secret like that, I wouldn't say anything either until I was held in contempt of court. Like, there's just so many what ifs in this case. And another theory that came along too was that his dad had sold him to this pedophile ring, and that his dad set up the map and everything and told these people where he could be, where they would kidnap him, because apparently his father didn't seem very interested really in the case. His mother was more the driving force to the posters and the milk cartons, and his dad was just kind of like, my son's missing, nothing we can do. Like,
I wonder if that was more so because of the influx of missing kids in the United States and the need to put faces on milk cartons, that he was like, he's gone, he's not gonna come back, I'm gonna accept that right away, there's nothing we
can do. Actually, that's very interesting way to look at it, and I didn't even think about it like that. That's very interesting. What are your other thoughts on this? I'm interested, because now you have me in, like, so invested in this. So you think the dad just wrote him off, said he's gone?
Yeah, possibly. It's now starting to look a little setup-y. Like, they were taken for a reason, all these other kids. If there was that many going missing. Like, it is totally true. A big conspiracy. It could be even true that his father was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to divorce his mother. I'm going to take all this money that you're going to give me for him. I'm not going to tell her. I'm just going to move on.
And start a new life.
Exactly.
There's so many possibilities in this case, and it's been, what, like 34 years now, and there's still no answers to his disappearance. There's still no evidence. the only thing they ever found was his red wagon, and they didn't find anything else. There was no other witness reports.
39 years.
Yeah, 39 years. That's crazy.
So he should be 39 plus 12. So, yeah.
So we were right.
52.
So he would be an older gentleman by now. And apparently there was also accusations, and I can't confirm this, that there were other paper boys going missing in the same areas. Like, there were four other paper boys that went missing about an hour out, and they were never seen again either. So in my opinion, I feel like if you don't have a body, you can't always assume that somebody was murdered, because you need that proof.
Of course.
I think it's really kind of cool. Not like cool in a like, oh my God, that's so cool. More like, if he is this badass and is able to go undetected for this long, wow. Like, that blows my mind. But I don't know if he could. I think that's a long time.
Yeah, I think that's a long time.
To go undetected. Like, that's a long time. Unless he moved totally off the globe somewhere and is living in the bush somewhere.
It's also known that these rings, these sex rings, are also heavy Satanists and worshippers.
Really?
Yes. So they're said that there was pictures of, I think it's 1982 party at the Rothschilds. And they have dead babies being eaten, like cakes and stuff like that, and this and that. Oh yeah. So they with the Epstein house or the Epstein Island, they say that there was this, when I watched the documentary, it came to like this outdoor, very intricate type of design, circular type of shape, and I was like that is used for sacrificing. That you cannot tell me otherwise. Just the look of it, the feel of it. There's like a big building that's right nearby, and then there's like paintings of suns and this and that. It's very eerie,
almost like a rebirth kind of sign, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So was Satanism really big in 1982? Was that something maybe that contributed to Johnny Gosch's disappearance?
You know what? I am going to want to say yes, because a lot of these serial killers that came from the late or early 60s up until the early 90s, they were all heavy. Well, I wouldn't say all heavy into it. A lot of them really dabbled with it, in my opinion.
Well, look at Charles Manson too.
Yes, exactly. I was gonna get to him eventually, but lad, Charles Manson himself, like, they were heavy into it, and it was a big deal that they went out and committed these crimes.
It was a huge deal. I mean, I can definitely see something like that going on.
Yeah.
And then I recommend that somebody watch this documentary, because it's really interesting and it kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies. Like, by the end of it, you want to go lock your door and, you know, make sure you're safe. Johnny's mother, Noreen, has a very interesting energy about her. She counsels other parents whose children have gone missing to this day. She still does that. And she just seems like has all of her answers, and that she's at peace with the situation. And that could be because it's been so long.
Oh,
that's very possible. Like, she just had to kind of get over it and move on with her life. And then there's also the part of me that's like, but what if he did visit? And what if it was true? And that's why she has this demeanor like, okay, I can move on. I'm gonna help other people now. I know where my son is, or I know what happened to him, and I can move on with that. And it's just, it's so weird because it can go either way. I don't know what to believe. I don't know if I believe her.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe her as well. She says a lot of stuff. I think she runs her mouth a lot. Some of what she could be saying could be true to a point, but I don't think everything she is saying is 100% truth. I think she wants to, like, in comparison right now, a lot of people are making up conspiracy theories and believing conspiracy theories because that is a way of coping. That is a way of making them feel okay. So yeah. For her,
you're right.
For her not to think that her son was brutally murdered, but was sold off and taken care of down the road, I don't even know.
That's what she thinks. She says he was used for pornography and he was sold. And Paul Benassi had told her that Johnny was sold to a businessman in New York who was really, really rich. And he was molested over and over again. But this guy paid good money. And specifically, these people didn't want, how do you say this delicately? People that were used and abused, per se.
Yeah.
The virgins always went for more. And that's what Benassi says. The virgins always were top dollar. That's what they wanted. They wanted innocent kids that they could molest and victimize.
You're so true. That's so true.
It makes me sick to my stomach just thinking about it.
I sent you two pictures of that Epstein Island stuff just to show you what I mean of the ominous and creepy features, that it definitely looks like that was used for some sort of ritual in which someone died.
Oh my God. That totally looks like some sort of sacrifice.
Benches,
temple.
Benches all the way around that sundial.
Oh, is that what that is?
Those are benches. I think 12 benches. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. So to think that he could have been a sacrifice to something more sinister is
also a possibility.
Throw another wrench into your investigations into Johnny Gosch.
And it's interesting because, again, I'm just going to keep talking about the documentary because I thought it was so good. They go into how reporters were asking the new mayor or something of West Des Moines, Iowa, about the Johnny Gosch case and why they haven't done anything. And an FBI agent or a police officer in the background pipes up and says, "We told you guys that we weren't going to answer any questions or talk about the Johnny Gosch investigation."
Oh my gosh.
So that's really freaking suspicious.
Yes, it really is. I mean, I do understand where they're coming from. They're annoyed. They don't want to hear about it anymore. But at the same time, it's like, what's your opinion on it? Come on. Let's dig into your brain.
I don't know what to think. I think there's so many possibilities. Again, I think his remains could be laying somewhere and we'll never know where they went. Or he's still alive and living his life, where maybe he's involved in the pedophile ring and he's being protected. Who the hell knows?
Exactly. We won't ever know unless someone comes forward saying, "I'm Johnny," and they are able to test it.
Or they know the person that took him.
Exactly.
And even Paul Benassi said, "I was one of the men that helped kidnap this little boy," and the police still didn't budge. They still wouldn't go talk to him. They didn't believe him. Just the lack of overall investigation on this case was disgusting.
Yeah.
And I think if they would have started searching for him before 72 hours, maybe they would have gotten better leads. Like if they had Amber Alerts and things like that.
True. Yeah.
I think the police dropped the ball, and I think they butchered this investigation.
Yes,
my opinion.
They completely did. They didn't do their due diligence. They didn't do all the investigating that they could have done. They did it half-assed.
Yeah, and they pretty much said, he's a runaway. Unless there's a ransom note, nothing we can do.
Exactly.
So I uploaded all the photos to our Facebook page, and Jordan and I would actually like to hear from some of our listeners. What do you think happened? What do you think happened to Johnny? Do you think he is still alive? Do you think he'll ever show his face again and come out and say, I'm still alive, I'm here, this is what my story is. What do you think? It's interesting to talk about this. We want to interact with our listeners as well. So please feel free to go to our Facebook page and comment under the album, Johnny Gosch. We would really like to hear some of your theories as well, or if anybody does have the time to watch Who Took Johnny, I recommend it. It's very, very interesting, and it goes over a lot of details of this case. And it's still a mystery till this day, even in 2021. We have no idea what happened to him or where he is.
And this is another one of those unsolved mysteries.
Yeah, it's another one of those unsolved mysteries that might not ever be solved.
For some reason, we like these type of mysteries, but we also hate
them. Yeah, because there's no, like, justification at the end.
Exactly. There's no, like, final, like, okay, we can breathe and forget about this. Like, we can move on. No, we can't. We fucking can't.
Your brain just keeps turning. It's like going down the rabbit hole.
Going down the rabbit hole.
So, we want to know what everyone else thinks. Please tell us. Let's talk about this. Let's have a discussion.
We will also be able to, if you guys listen to us through Anchor, there's an option that we can actually use voice messages from the viewers. So we will start sending those links around onto our social medias. And if anyone's interested in speaking or having their voice heard on our podcast, we would like to include them in some of our future episodes. So we will start posting those links as well, and possibly put that in our bio if we have enough characters.
Yeah, we will definitely look into doing that. We will do that as long as we have enough space.
And as long as you all send in some voice messages for us, because it's going to get boring if you hear our voices. Because we can we can call in ourselves, but that doesn't really work.
And maybe one of these days we'll go live. So we need a couple more listeners to do that, but one of these days we will definitely do a live stream. We'll figure out a way to make it happen.
Either all the listeners come in and join in on the Zoom call with us and are all just muted, or if you Zoom in on Facebook somehow.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be so cool. So yeah, tell us what you think. What do you think happened to him? Especially if you're a listener that's from Des Moines and you've heard different things, please share, because we would absolutely love to hear different things that have went around there.
Some of these unsolved mysteries, we would love to go back and give an update on if we can. So if there's more information or new information out there that we can include, we would love to do that, as long as we can make like at least a 15-20 minute update.
And yeah, I mean, Jordan's right. So we always like to update our cases if there's an update. And if anybody, you know, has an update or if they have a tip, drop it. Let's hear what you think. It's just an interesting way to get to know our fans and see what you guys like. And coming off of the Johnny Gosch thing, Jordan and I also want to figure out what our fans like and what they don't like about our podcast. So maybe we'll do a survey or a link to the survey. Just a short one, just to say what you prefer, what you don't like, what we can change. We're trying to kind of do a revamp right now if we have to. So we just kind of want to know what our listeners want and what they like and what they don't like and what they think we could do better on.
Of course, if we want to, for one of our upcoming Friday Fun episodes, possibly do a all episode about sex. So basically talking about sexual confessions and reading sexy texts from last night. So if you know what I'm talking about, then you were around on the internet during a good time when you could go through and just read people's texts from last night that occurred, and some of them were the most what the fuck type of text messages. They were
so
great.
Dirty.
Yeah, the dirty dog. The dirty. If you know what the dirty is, then you have some dirties in your town.
Yeah, totally. So we're gonna do a really fun episode on BFF Fridays. definitely about all of that, because it sounds like so much fun.
It'll get extremely extremely explicit, just telling you, because we are going to be reading some sexual confessions. So they're sex confessions, but they're like, woo, really out there, some of them.
And more likely than not, we will pick the most ones that are like, whoa.
Yeah, because there's quite a bit of them out there that we could kind of go through and read, and I guess give our opinions on, give them life advice.
Yeah, you know what? It'll be a really fun episode, and we kind of want to see, I mean, that'll tell us the age of our fan base, if people totally know what we're talking about, like going back to the MySpace days and all kinds of stuff. It'll be really fun.
My MySpace is still active. I've signed on a couple times. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. I've copied all the pictures off of it, and I sent them to a bunch of people because I had.
Remember that.
Yeah.
We're so old now. Jesus.
Thank you for listening to a Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem episode.
We hope you enjoy. We hope to bring you more content soon.